Okay, let's learn. We're in Perek Beis, Eshbach Lefon of Sichi.
Thank you.
All of this in the first and Hagdom and Perek Aleph and Beis is Hischaskus to bring us into that whole universe of his Baidus. First, we need to understand why it's. He's explaining the tzaddik. The author is explaining why it's so hard. It shouldn't be that hard. And he went through a few reasons that we've been discussing over the past few weeks. And finally, we're on page Samaches. Like in the other edition might be, I don't know, but on page Samaches, in this one, on the bottom of the page, where it says the paragraph beginning with V'yesh od tam nista. That's we went a few sentences into that paragraph. V'yesh od tam nista. No. Samaches, or maybe another page that you have in yours, Samaches. So there's another reason that he saved for last, and we began talking about that last week. The other reason is Yetzer Hara. There's a huge Yetzer Hara. Not to do this. And everybody knows, it's not like we're strangers to the Yetzer Hara. All of us have a relationship with the Yetzer Hara. We've been struggling with all of our adult lives, and it starts even before that. The more important something is, that we all know that the more important and the more crucial something is for our lives, the more chashuv it is, the bigger the Yetzer Hara. And that's why when it comes to this inyan, which really should be self-evident. It's really self-evident and obvious how urgent this is, and how important this is, and how simple it is. And yet, it's argued with, it's debated, and some of the challenges are coming dafka from people who are learned people. And it's just odd. It's very odd. So let's just go back into this paragraph, this Tam Nister. We'll read it very quickly with the beginning of that paragraph. We started. There is another part of ourselves that's very frightened, that's terrified of this inyan of being alone with Hashem. Anivahu. Because the Yetzer Hara knows that the moment that a Jew, and by the way, this could even be with a little Jew, a kid, that the moment that that person, young or old, is sitting nochach pnei Hashem, is in that place of feeling that I am alone and I'm talking to Hashem and Hashem cares and Hashem is listening, the Yetzer Hara knows, tipard me, man. That this little Jew or big Jew is not going to be fascinated by what the Yetzer Hara has to offer. He's simply not interested in what the Yetzer Hara has to offer. Not only that, timas by it, that the person will be disgusted with the Yetzer Hara. Tisloinen, I love, yom yom lefon of Yisbar. This person who is a person of his Yisbaridus is going to be living a life where he or she is constantly complaining about what the Yetzer Hara is doing to him or to her. Is speaking to Hashem all the time about what problems I have with the Yetzer Hara, and asking Hashem all the time for help with the Yetzer Hara, to dealing with it. Not just in a broad way, in a general way, where you say every morning, you know, Al Tavin Leidein, so it such the enemy, this and such the enemy, that, and Bochad Hashem, and then you go right to Ashri Yishtavach. Not in such a way. In a real, honest way, where you're speaking in your own language, whether that's English or Russian or Yiddish or French or Spanish, whatever it is, you're speaking in your own language in a real way, that I'm having problems, I need your help, I'm having problems, I need your help. Tishbok siach, will I avtizke v'tazel d'mos, and the person might even be brought to a point of desperation, and sebrochen kait, will there be actually tears that come out? I'll call mashum ha'olaluch, all that the Yetzer Hara, all the aggravation that I have from the Yetzer Hara. all the problems that I have from the Yetzer. The worst thing in the world that any parent has with their kid in school is that there's a bully in the class. Nachon? It's the worst thing. And lo chaser. There are no shortage. It's like a din that every class has to have a bully. And it's funny, even with girls, it's like bullyettes. I don't know. It's funny, but there are bullies everywhere. It's a certain type of hopefully they all outgrow and they become regular, nice, you know, law-abiding citizens and everything. But there are bullies all over the place. There are bullies all over the place. And until the child gets up the courage, it's already a huge step forward. If the kid gets up the courage to talk to his parents, that I'm having terrible sorrows with this kid. It's already a big thing if the kid could talk to his parents or to her parents, to talk to a teacher, to talk to a social worker, a therapist. You know, as we get older, the dynamics change. The biggest bully in our lives is the Yetzer Hara. That's the biggest bully in our lives. And mostly we keep it to ourselves. We don't talk to anybody about it. And the Yeshua comes when you begin to talk. And that's when you talk to a parent or you talk to a friend, you talk to a social worker, a therapist. Alas, come of a come infinitely, infinitely, if you have a sprach with the Baruch Shalom, the Creator himself, who in 1 second can take the Yetzer and squeeze its life out. Your mommy and daddy can't necessarily do that. They call the school. They say, this kid is a bully. I don't want this kid in my kid's class. And you get 5 other parents to call. If the bully has rich parents, you might as well switch the school. If the bully doesn't have rich parents, cool it high. You can maybe get something done. But it's a problem, and they might not be capable of changing the landscape of your kid's life. But the Baruch Shalom could do anything. And the Yetzer Hara is a bully. Mamash a bully. It's the biggest bully in our lives, the Yetzer Hara. It's constantly bullying us around. Constantly telling us, making us do things we don't want to do. Making you do, what is a bully? A bully makes you do something you don't want to do. That's what a bully does. He makes you act in a way you feel you don't want to act. He makes you do things you don't want to do. That's a bully. And that's the Yetzer Hara. The bully also has a Yetzer Hara. It's just bigger than yours. But that's what the Yetzer Hara is. And here, the chiluk is, you talk directly to Hashem Baruch Hu about the one who created the Yetzer Hara, the one who's in charge of the Yetzer Hara. That's a big part of his bavidus. Uboi says, man. So the Yetzer Hara is very afraid of this. That's why the Yetzer Hara will do all kinds of strange things to force you away from his bavidus. The Yetzer Hara will do anything. It'll tell you it'll bring shuvas from the Chacham Tzvi. It'll bring a raya from some Rosh Hashiva. It'll bring you all kinds of. It'll tell you that it's medically, you know, you might be endangering your life by being his buddies. It's dangerous to do. It'll bring up all kinds of weird things. The ikur is, you should not be alone with Hashem. You should not have this inyan of his buddies in your lives. And I've heard the craziest things from people. The craziest things from people. And you just say, why? Why is that why are you so afraid of that? What's the problem? Why would there be a problem talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu? So one of the favorites is, it's not our Messiah. Oh, you had to learn a little bit our Messiah, right? You saw that. But what do you mean it's not our Messiah? To talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu is not our Messiah. But I've heard that. You are endangering the ruchnius of this person. You're endangering your own ruchnius. All the things it's amazing. Amazing. What the HR will come up with. Boy says, man, the HR knows, and the HR is terrified, that not only are you going to potentially develop, not that, you'll definitely develop a relationship with Hashem Baruch Hu, but worst of all, you're going to find yourself. That's the HR. Until now, the greatest bullying tactic of the Yetzer Hara is to say, I am you. Like they say, I am you. This, you're really big. I am you. That's the Yetzer Hara's main thing. I am you. Yeah, but then you tell the Yetzer Hara, yeah, but you know, I do like learning. I do like davening. I want to keep Shabbos. Ah, that's not really you. I'm telling you, I am you. That's the biggest thing of the Yetzirah, right? That's when the Yetzirah's biggest hatzlach is, when you begin to identify the Yetzirah. I am you. That's your bid. I was on the phone 10 minutes ago with somebody. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful boy, beyond belief. And he thinks he's bid. He did not verily here, not verily there. But he thinks he's bid. Because he thinks that he's bid. And I said, why are you bid? How does that make you bid? And he thinks he's bid. That when that's when it's most successful in bullying you to a corner where he has you convinced that you're bid. Means that you are ra. That's the Yetzirah's biggest nitzachon. That's netzach shebenetzach of the Yetzirah. When the Yetzirah is menatzeach and convinces you that you're a shlechter. That's the hatzlacha of the Yetzirah. Not that you're a tzaddik that made a mistake. You're a tzaddik that needs some chizik. You're a tzaddik that needs to work on yourself. No, that you're a shlechter. You're a bid. That's when the Yetzirah has succeeded in bringing you into his orbit of misery. So now, what happens with his baidus, which we're going to be learning a lot about, his baidus is the ikkar, is the main way, an opportunity for a person to find out the emes, who he really is. That doesn't mean that you don't know your faults. You talk to Hashem about your faults, but you're not bad. You're not bad. You're not evil. The Yetzirah only wants to sell that schayra of ra. That's all the Yetzirah is doing, is to sell the schayra of ra. And if you're a person that you have every day or a few times a week, or it's once a week, whatever it is, but there's a kviyas of his bodhidus, the Yetzirah is finished. You can't be bullied anymore into such a place of believing that you're a rat. You can't be. And we're going to see why. You can't be bullied in such a way. You could honestly admit that you have issues, you want to work on them. But not to go into that absurdity that you're a rat, that you're bad. That we're living in a time. You have a 9-year-old kid that thinks that he's bad. He's bad. I told this kid, you're not chashev enough to be so bad. you're so chashev that you're bad. You're already in such a madrega of being bad. Not even by mitzvah, you're bad already. This is where kids are going. This is where it's going. And there's always going to be some adult that will confirm that, you know what I mean? There always will be some adult that will confirm that thought of the Yetzirah, that will support the Yetzirah, and children are very, very, very innocent, and they have the tendency to believe adults, and that's the beginning of the end. The Yetzirah is a bully. The Yetzirah does not want you to find out who you really are. The Yetzirah would have you impersonate, imitate, till you're 120, but not to be who you really are, not to find the ani. Not to come to that place of his galus on the neshama, to be megalus on the neshama. The gilui of the neshama of a Jew, that a Jew is a chelik l'komi mal mamish. The Yetzar can't stand that, because that's it, the Yetzar. Because the second you come to that place of the neshama, of who you really are, the Yetzar has no shaykhis, doesn't have an in, can't open the door to such a person at all. Es hani amiti. Yachal Vessel, the Galus is Ani, Amitishacha, as an Neshama, Hatzmeya, Haraven, the Neshama itself, the Ani of a Jew, this man is thirsting for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's Smeya, Re'eva, it's thirsting, it's hungry. Haber is Be'esh, Lahavishal, Heves, Lashem, it's on fire for Hashem. The Yetzirah doesn't want that to happen. Because any time that a Jew gets to the Ani, could be the biggest Rasha, could be a guy that's been doing every Aveir in the world, like Reb Lezer ben Dodayi, the second he gets to that place of Ani, of Ein Adav Tol Eilo Bi, the second he starts to find that Ani in his life, then it's true. Like Rav Kook, the whole life said true, is this Nakuda. The key to finding Hashem is finding yourself. Because the second you discover yourself, and that's where Hashem is. So the Yetzirah will do anything to prevent the Jew from finding out who he is, who she is. And that comes along with some painful self-awareness that I'm not the tzaddik I thought I was. And that's okay. But you're not Ra. You're not a Rasha. But the honesty and the awareness that comes by talking honestly to Hashem, because you know that there's no, you know, this is not, this isn't some therapist that you could, how many times I've had people tell me, you know, that they're in therapy, but it hasn't helped at all. So they'll say, I'm in therapy. I say, is it really? It's a good therapist, hasn't helped at all. So I said, are you telling the therapist the truth? So he says, like, no, sometimes, a little bit. So I said, so what do you want to do? Either you're going to tell the truth, you're wasting your parents' money, you're wasting your time, or whatever it is. You're not being honest. If you can go to a therapist, you're going to go for an hour, and it's costing your parents whatever $250. That's already a cheap one. And you're going for therapy, and you're sitting there, and you're telling the person book my license. So what are you doing? So you're not being honest. The merchant doesn't charge anything, but you have to be crazy to take aside time in your life as a brother and to make up stories. Because the Baruch Shalom says, "What are you? You know, you're talking to." I'm not some doctor. I'm not a professor. I'm not a social worker. I'm the one who created you. Don't play games with me. See, either you run away or you talk honestly. Those who talk honestly, they come to themselves. You can't help it. All the arrows of his brothers point to Ani Bahu. All of the arrows of his brothers point to you and to him, because the essence of a Jew is him. It's Hashem. Inside a Jew is Hashem. All of the arrows of his brothers take you to, that's the road that they all lead to the same place. And if you're not going to be sincere, then it's not for you. Or it's not your Messiah or something. There'll be reasons not to do it. Because it's uncomfortable for most people to come to that place of Ani. For most people, a lot of people, it's very uncomfortable to come to that Ani. Very uncomfortable. Because that Ani brings up all kinds of stuff. Because I'm coming to the place of Ani, then like, what happened with my mom? What happened with my dad? You know, what's going on in my life? Why is it that, you know, my marriage didn't work out? Or why was it I was never married? Or why is it my kids don't want to connect to me? You know, you get to a lot of stuff. In that world of Ani, there's lots of stuff. You can live without that and just, you know, be oblivious. But that costs a lot. Being oblivious costs a lot. Olam Hazen and Olam Haba. In this world and the next world. But a person who's courageous enough to come to that place of Ani, with the discomfort and pain that comes with that. You know, that's how, you know, I'm sure many of you, anybody here that's ever had a backache, you know about Dr. Sarno? You ever hear Dr. Sarno? You know what I'm talking about? All right, this guy, he's not Jewish, you know, he's not Jewish. He died a few years ago. He saved myself and my wife. I should go, if I would be allowed to, I'd go to his kever, I don't know where he's buried, and thank him. I would go to the Goyisha Cemetery, but I at least send him a Zoom or something. he saved us for sure. He didn't. His mahalach. The whole mahalach of Dr. Sarno. If you know what I'm talking about, you can look it up. Next to Lahavdil Tanakh, nobody sold as many books as this person, right? There are shiurim that are being given in Borough Park, there's a Rabbi Katz there that gives shiurim in this mahalach, which I went to with a good friend of mine. And I remember when I called this rabbi who gives the shiur in Dr. Sarno, he said to me, I have more chassidim than the square rabbi, as we told him. Because Jews have a lot of aches and pains, because we take life very, very seriously. So the whole mahalach, what's the whole mahalach? He was a person that was a Welts surgeon, one of the most brilliant surgeons, and he's opening up people's backs all the time, and he's looking inside, and there's nothing wrong. And he sewed them back together, and then say, let's see if this works. Says, most of the times it doesn't, sometimes it does. A lot of people there's nothing wrong with it. On top of everything, you have Jews that they're like 19 years old, and he's got terrible back problems and terrible shoulder problems. And there's some 80-year-old guy that works in the docks. Some guy's working in the docks. He's 80 years old, and he's carrying buildings on his shoulders, and he's fine. And this 18-year-old Jew is already complaining, oh, I don't ask, I have such sorrows. What's going on? There's a big problem. So, it's over here. That's what the problem is. It doesn't mean that the pain, again, anybody who knows the system knows that the pain is real. It hurts you. Your shoulder's hurting you. Your back's hurting you. Sometimes it's a medical thing, of course. You get checked, you get an MRI, whatever. But the vast majority of time, especially when they tell you you have disc, what's it called?
Herniated
disc means Goren Nishmet Goren. They told me I have this, I have this, I have that, and they're already putting me into the surgery, and it's a good friend of mine that said, don't do it, and it doesn't mean anything. Goren Nishmet Goren. The surgeon I went to said, yeah, you have things that have to be cleared out. I said, clean. I said, what is it? What are you... He starts to say some things. It meant nothing. Nothing. I went to the sauna for 2 weeks. What it means is that what Dr. Sauna was saying, and you could take a look at yourselves. Say, I'm sure it's online everywhere. And the book is a couple of dollars. But what he's saying is essentially, no, the pain is real, but this is how it works. What's really hurting you is not your back. Because what did you do? Nothing physically has changed. The MRI will show that nothing has changed. They'll call it, the surgeons will call it, what's it called again?
Herniated
disc. That's nothing. Nothing has changed. Nothing is wrong with you. Now, I thought I remembered. I was picking up a box, and I felt something. There's nothing wrong. What it is, the vast majority of times, is that there are certain things from even when you were a little kid. And there are inyanim that you feel tremendous pressure, or tremendous anger, or tremendous disappointment in your life. And the person, the way Hashem has made a person, is that pain is so unbearable to come to terms, or to think about the emes of your life, is so painful, that what the body does instead, is the brain sends information, will send these impulses to your back, to your shoulders, just not to admit that that's not really what's wrong. Nothing happened to me. I didn't break my back. That 80-year-old guy that works in the docks, he's lifting up a million times more than me. But he's not worried about anything. He's pushed. He doesn't have anything that he's worried about. He's thinking about whatever it might be. But you're carrying the whole world on your shoulders. You feel like you're carrying the whole world on your shoulders and you're falling apart. It's not true. Nothing's wrong with your shoulder. Nothing's wrong with your back. What's wrong is that you're tzebrachin yid, and yid not tzebrachin, because we want to be close to Hashem's baruch, because we want to be better. But tzebrachin yid not tzebrachin, and we want to have a keshe with Hashem's baruch. And there's so many things in life that we feel that we've disappointed Him, and that we're not doing the right thing. And the beauty of it is that you don't have to even identify exactly what it is that's bugging you. At least if you begin by saying, I know that this is not physical. I know that this is not physical. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to bend down. I'm going to get off the bed. I'm going to tie my shoelaces. I'm going to do what I have to because this is not physical. This look, man, cup, it's not physical. I am feeling pain. My back is hurting. But it's not coming from a broken back. It's coming from a broken heart. And as long as you can begin to speak in that way, together with this body, this is Givaldi. And that's what we were learning about. We went to the Shia together, talking to the Rebbeinu Shalom, together with Tefillah? It's unbelievable. And then, and if you want to talk about some things that Ba'amis, you remember that were hurtful to you, that were hard for you, growing up, or whatever it might be, the body is a big Baal Zikaron, you know that. A big memory. The body remembers very well. Things that we forgot a long time ago, the body remembers. And when a person begins just to even talk about it, because I know the second, like there's something, even now, there's something very, very upsetting, something right away, I start to feel ding. I start to feel something. And then I go to that place of his body, and I start to use also together with Dr. Sarna, with the halachas, what to say over it, to think about, and finished. Sometimes it takes a day and a half, never more than a day and a half. Gone. Couldn't move. It was hurt. Gone. Because the Eitz Hara knows. And we're made in such a way that we'll do anything not to come to that place that's called Ani Vahu. Ani Vahu. And I was talking to somebody who was telling me how Dr. Sarno, somebody in the bungalow was telling me that Dr. Sarno saved his brother's life. His brother was in a wheelchair and he couldn't do anything. And now he said his brother runs in the marathon, whatever. He says, save this brother's life. And then he was telling me that he has himself terrible problems with his back. So I said, I said, you try sauna? He said, no, I can't believe it. I said, you told me the mice of your brother. He said, I know, but I can't come to that. It just doesn't seem real to me. You have to be in that place. He's not able to come to it. He says, these terrible backaches. He said, his brother. Oh, his brother. My son had to carry my wife to the doctor. She couldn't walk, my wife. She couldn't walk. He carried her to the doctor. And we're going to cut this, we're going to make that. You can go to this place, you can go. Then you have 6 months rehab, 6 months. His eye goes on.
Johnny was on.
10 days. Son, finished. Yeah, Shani also.
Shani was on bed rest. She was worked at the hospital. Patient fell over. She grabbed the patient. That was it. Her back went out. The week before surgery, someone took her to see Sarna directly. He was still out giving the seminars.
Yeah.
She went one time, and she got up from the session. Actually got up. She couldn't stand.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, she was fine.
You have to be able to... You have to be able to be mechazik. So when it's together, that's why when it's together with tefillah and his brothers, you mechazik yourself. And even though you're so afraid, because without that, if you bend down, you feel like you're going to die. Yeah. That's lower back. Yeah. Your mamish feel like I couldn't get off the chair. You can't move. And you just say, "This is shtiyot mamish. This is a banish shalom. This comes from my anger, my stress, my memories, whatever it is." And you just give out a shrai and you get up.
Your father used to do that.
Huh?
Your father. In the hospital.
Yeah, he did it without sarna. Yeah.
He was his own sarna.
Yeah, he just did it. He said, "That's enough."
I'm done with this.
Yeah, he just started. He went to daven. He went to shul and he went to breakfast. And my mother said, "What are you doing?" And the aide was looking for whatever. He said, "I'm finished with that. I'm done." He just went to shul. He couldn't walk. It's such an idiom how the Baruch Shalom made us, but the Yetzer Hara knows. And when you come to that nekuda of ani, he's finished. Even physically, he has no control over you. No control. Physically. A person has issues when it comes to their weight, or their nutrition. It's only to keep you away from the ani. So the diets, they'll use all kinds of different gimmicks to try to convince you that if you follow this diet, this will be like this, this then you'll be like this, and they show you a picture before and after, you know, all these different things. But it'll never tell you, just come to a place of ani. Because if you come to that place of ani vuhu, you don't need to have any special books and any special diets. Just, you know, eat in a healthy way. And if you appreciate your life and you want to live because you want to serve Hashem and you want to be there with your family, you don't need to report in once a week to somebody that's going to weigh you for $150. You come to that place of ani. Yetzer doesn't want that to happen. On so many levels, the Yetzer is trying to keep you away from that place. Ani Rahu, which is the same place. Mizeh, he says, Noveh HaPachat HaSomri. This is the hidden fear of his brothers. When people are afraid of his brothers, they're afraid to be alone, like we were talking about last week, and they're afraid to be alone with Hashem. To be alone with, even quiet, even sitting with their own thoughts and feelings, to be alone with Hashem. I was talking about an MRI. Any of you ever have one of those? You have it go in a box, right? You know that box? I love that. They give you this whole talk, you know, will you be okay? I said, put me in the... And when they take me, I said, no, more, more. Oh, what a machai. So you know, you can't move, you can't do anything. I said, put me in there. It's the best spot. It's a great... No, it's great inside there. We shouldn't need it, but it's a machai. It's a machai. The only two places where it's quiet is when you're on an airplane, and that's going to change soon because they're going to have ready Wi-Fi. I'm sure they're ready. On the airplane, it's Machaya. And then and you're going for an MRI. Nobody should have a Chalila neither, but go for an MRI. You okay to lie quietly for half an hour? 15 minutes. What are you talking about? I'm just waiting for you my whole life. MRI. But there's a pachda somewhere. Person's afraid. Yes, I will do everything. I don't have the time. I don't have 50 minutes for his brothers. I don't have the time. You only can do his brothers if you live in the mountains. You can't do his brothers over here. There's a certain place near Nebi Samuel. There, it's a good place for his brothers, but you can't do his brothers in the five towns. There are all kinds of shtiyot. It'll come up with all kinds of things. The ikir is not to do it. Ain shum hezbar miskabel al hadas the minias haatzumais sheish al kiim haitzazu. There's no rational way to explain the unbelievable amount of minias that people have, even the ones who want to do it, who say they want to do it, the unbelievable minias that get in the way. She called kach pshuta kalunima, this avoda of his brothers, and how it can help a person ruchnias, emotionally, even physically, how it can help a person. It's kol kach pshuta, it's simple. Kalunima, it doesn't cost anything. It's easy. Vyeshba mehamesikus, and it has in it the sweetness. Shall oz tesanigal Hashem. Shall oz tes, of delighting in Hashem. It has such a mesikus to it. So why would a person not want to do this? There's such a mesikus. So to try it. What does it hurt to try it? What's the problem? It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't. What are you worried about? What are you so afraid of? Pratla hesber. The only way we can explain this, it can't be explained rationally. The only hesber is shamanias halolu maise baldovahem. Comes from Yetzar, the baldov Yetzar. It comes from the baldover. Who's there? Hayudeya ad kama otzum v'rav koach hazman? Because the Yetzar knows very well the great kama otzum v'rav koach, how powerful is hazman, that time of Adam Yoshev v'shoifer hazlibo nochev pnei Hashem, and a Jew is sitting and being honest and pouring his heart out to Hashem. The Yetzar knows exactly what the consequences are of such behavior. Kibbenim ischatos neovi, like a child crying before his father. Ke'eved anoisi enev l'adoinoi, or like the servant coming to his master and turning his eyes to his master. Kedabri isha re'eim. To speak to Hashem, kedabri isha re'eim. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Nachman, rotsa l'hanchles anhogi ha'kadosh hazu. So even though all the earlier tzaddikim, or many, many, many of the earlier tzaddikim spoke about this, Rabbi Nachman made it his life's business to give this over. Rabbi Nachman said enough. He wanted to bring this into our lives, mamish. As hanhogas hanaviim, this hanhoga that was the common practice of all the neviim, achsidim, and all the early achsidim akadmoinim, the tzaddikim, she yikarim and hakol, which as we learned is yikarim and hakol is more valuable than anything else. He ha'emtsoya yoyis hamuchan liknas shleimus. These are the words again, Ramchal, Charis Lavovitz, the greatest way to acquire shleimus. Hamor l'nefesh shivasai mehalimud. If you learn Shlach Kadosh on the tzaddikim, is the most powerful way of bringing you back to Hashem. Shivasai, seven times greater than learning something, and will help you with your learning, and to become greater in your learning, and to be more focused on your learning. L'chein adir ha'yir v'tzanesh yelonu kol ha'yem his brothers. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman wanted us mamish to live with his brothers every day of our lives. Omnam lo ha'kol mesugal l'makach. Not everybody can hear this. Not everybody can do this. Lo l'kulam yeshus ha'kelim lama b'dar gazu. Not everybody has the kelim, and not everybody feels that they have the kelim, the kaiches, to be able to live this way, mamish every day. What Rabbi Nachman wanted, at least an hour every day. So therefore, even though Rabbi Nachman wanted us to live throughout the day in a way of his brothers, taking breaks and stops and so on, but he understood that you can't demand that of everybody. Not everybody's ready for that. There are some who are zaych. And they're connected to this, what Rabbi Nachman was very strong with those who were his followers. Shah achas, at least 1 hour a day, yelach v'yishtoikeg v'yachin atzmoy shuif. He should go with longing and prepare himself l'dabe v'yaruch liba l'kach. V'yachin atzmoy l'dover v'yaruch liba l'kach, and to prepare his heart for this. Achakach, yidaber l'Hashem shah achas, to speak to Hashem for an hour. Atzase is better this. This Eitzah. El mole re'inu rakis divrei harishonim kedoshim asher barasema. If all we had seen, if we would never have seen Rabbi Nachman, which we're going to be beginning with next week in Mitzvah Shemaf, look at them around. If we hadn't seen any of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, if we had only seen from Navi and from the Rish and from Chazal and the Rishonim, hayinu svurim she'ein lanu shum shayches amahagazu. We might think that maybe this is just for Nevi'im. Maybe this is just for people like the Ramchal or the Chavis Lavobis or the Shlokodesh or maybe the Chavis Chaim. Maybe this is only for people like that. When they shehi hanhoga shayeches the Nevi'im, it's a Nevi'im dika thing. It's something the way that the Nevi'im used to live. The Prushim HaKadmainim, a great tzaddikim from the earlier years. The Chassidim HaRishayim, like the Gemara says, they used to be Isaac and his brothers a lot. But lo lo, it's not shaykh to me. So Rabbi Nachman wanted to put an end to all of that nonsense, to think that it's not shaykh, it's just from an earlier, long time ago, thousands of years ago, you put an end to it. Rabbeinu Kodesh, Yerosh Lahavios, Tanulat Tachlis, Lishmon, Nishlachnu, Kanon, Rabbi Nachman was determined to bring us back to remember the Tachlis for which we were sent into this world. Lachin Sivalon has bided. Therefore, he commanded that all of those who want to have a shaykh to him, it's not enough just to go to Uman a Rosh Hashanah. If you want to have a shaykhus to him, then you have to be in his birthday. You have to go with his birthdays. Solo los aderech hazayis l'ram. And he is the one who paved this as a path for the multitudes, not just for Nevi'im and Rishonim and whatever, but for every Jew. Sha'al yada yocho kol echad ve'echad agir l'tachlis. That through his birthdays, each and every Jew can reach his and her tachlis in this world. Tikach l'chashah b'yayim by tifresh mecheves b'nei adam. You take an hour separated from people. Again, that's the ideal. An hour a day is very choshev, even if a person can't do it for an hour a day, but some time during the week, where you're separated mecheves b'nei adam, which means, again, of course, from all technology as well. Nimokim sheshom mahalchim b'nei adam, and not to be where people are dragging around, or computers and things that are going, you know, taking you all over the place. Bizman sha'olam nam eshinoso. The best time for his brothers is when the rest of the world around you is asleep. That's the best time. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Those are the ideal times for his brothers. Bechlal hashkam is a very, very holy time. For those people who know what it means to be up and around at 4 or 5 o'clock, there's nothing that's more chashid than. That's why the Yetzer does everything also to keep away a person away from such hours. To think that I can't possibly be somebody that gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I can't be somebody that gets up at 4 o'clock. I can't do such a thing. I can't. Since we're kids, we've all been indoctrinated into this sheker that we can't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Of course, that doesn't mean you go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. You go to bed at a regular time, normal time. Person goes to bed at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever it is. You can get up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Then they're going to tell you, no, but the Rambam says you have to get this amount of sleep, this amount of sleep, you have to get that amount of sleep. So, find a great person in this world who spent his whole life sleeping 8 hours like a shikar in bed, lying in bed for 8 hours. That's a place for shikar and for drunks. A person doesn't need 8 hours of sleep. Why would the Rambam? There's a lot of things in the Rambam that are not for you. The vast majority of the Rambam is for us. There are some things that are there, not necessarily for you. They're only there for you to be a Yetzara for you. You have to have 8 hours of sleep. You can't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You have to sleep Shabbos. See, even grown-ups, that they can't get to shul on time on Shabbos. They should have already been up for 4 hours before shul started. They can't get to shul on time. What are you? You're in bed until 8:25? Until 8:45, didn't have enough time to sleep. And then they want their children, they should be grown-ups. Their children should be able to sit in the classroom the whole day. They can't be disciplined enough to get up early in the morning. Either you have nothing in the morning to get up for, there's no reason for you to get up, or you're just following along with the same Yitzhar that says that you can't get up in the morning. You can't get up in the morning. The best time, the quietest time, the time that's the most holy of the day is early in the morning. Early doesn't mean 7 o'clock, 7:30. It's already almost the afternoon. What it means to get up early in the morning. And then you have some cousin that's making a bris somewhere in New Jersey. Oh, no. And this is davening is at 6:30. Oh, no. How am I going to get to bris at 6:30 in the morning? My whole week is messed up. What am I going to do? And then everybody says, the children, they're not doing their homework. They're not getting up from bed on time. The children are taking the cues from us. Mm. I was fortunate. I told you many times that I was raised in a house where it was 5:30 in the morning. My father was already standing outside my door saying, "Yeah, Moid." He was already calling me up in the morning, giving me an aliyah early in the morning. He said, "Daddy, it's Sunday." I said, "I don't believe in Sunday." Then none of my friends are going to daven at 6:30 on a Sunday morning. There are only 10 old Jews that go to daven at 6:30 in the morning. And you. That's how I was raised. There's no such thing. My father said, "I never saw in my life a person sleeping in bed. It's 7 o'clock, 7:30. What's the matter with you?" He let my sister do that, but not me. So I had a tanya. How come Beverly, she's allowed to sleep as long as she wants? So I got just one of those looks from my father. Just a look that wasn't even worthy of a response. Ya'amayid achasin. When I was a little kid. And I was a teenager, so Ya'amayid achasin. My mother would be saying, "Let him sleep a little bit." He was got very back very late. Then he would say louder, "Ya'amayid achasin." That's how it was. Now, you can't do stuff like that because you end up in therapy and all kinds of stuff. But that was the original Mahalach before everybody bought into woke. Why is it called woke? What does that mean? Why is it called woke? It has to do with getting up late, probably. Zman Shalom Namishnah, so the best time for his brother, this is when the world is sleeping. Ah, it's Mechai. When the world is sleeping. Bein Arvot, Veroidev, Bechal Koicha, Achve, Hevli, Azman. You're not in a hurry to get any place. And even if there's a time that you're not in a hurry, but if everybody else around you is in a hurry and things are going on, you feel like, I got to do something, I have to be somewhere. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, it's still pretty much of a good zone. Still, a good quiet zone. Yeah. Try getting up. Try Shabbos to get up 5 o'clock, 4:45. See what that is. Until to learn for 3-4 hours before davening. To see what it is. There's no mesikas in the world like that. Now, sometimes a person has a teva that they're the ones that they like to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Which, when you're young and if you could hold cup and you could learn till 2-3 o'clock in the morning, that might work for you better. But anybody that's already past 30, 35, usually by the time it gets late, it's not going. But if you go to sleep at 11 and you get up at 5 o'clock, try. It's a different world. Mamish a different world. Different world. The Yetzer doesn't want that. The Yetzer will keep you up, and you think that you're learning until 3 a.m. You're not really. You're just dozing off and having another coffee. This and that. You're looking a little bit. You're falling asleep a little bit. Go to sleep. Get up early in the morning. You could say a whole bunch of kibbutz chetilim. You can learn for a few hours. Which there's nothing in the world like it. It's the best thing in the world. The Yetzer says you can't do that. Some of you are hearing this right now and saying, "I can't do that. I can't do that. I never did that. I can't do such a thing." I'm not a morning person. That's the lesson. I'm not a morning person. Who's Kaveh? What kind of a person like that? Because your whole life you're sleeping late. I'm not a morning person. There's so much godless and so much masikas that sheker keeps a person away from. I'm not a morning person. I'm a night person. Emma says, "You're not this, you're not that. You're just stomp. Not here and not there." Once you already start to say these gedorim, "I'm not this person, I'm not that person," it's always not or not. Anything that will prevent you from becoming the person you really should be. I'm not this person, I'm not that person. It's not true. Tamad levadim Hashem, akatevahu, alone, bad bebad imot eskashim obechad ketira, to be bound up with him in one bond. Yizman lebemokam anala zeh, tispal tevakish tischani, during that quiet time when you're alone. You daven, you ask, you beg, to anach, you krechs, a matzav aguf ha'ochesh shalcho, the matzav of my the life that I'm living, my body is, the way that I'm living my life. Ocher means polluted and filthy. Tasiach lefnei Hashem is kol libcha. Talk to Hashem, everything that's on your heart. Pour out your heart. Tishpach lefon of the most kamayim. Pour out tears like water. Ona boi rizaki chaysi, the one who created me, purified me. Ta'arenu noira. Tareinu, Rabbi Hashem, no, you could do anything. You could purify me. Tizak l'Hashem, me'oymuk in the hamas limcha. Cry out to Hashem, ramish me'oymuk from the depths, and roar to Hashem, leiv tahor b'roli elokim. Beg Hashem, leiv tahor b'roli elokim. Hashem, create within me a pure heart, leiv tahor b'roli elokim. It's not bara. A lot of people say bara. It's bira. You're asking Hashem. Leiv tahor b'roli elokim. Not bara. Although that's true also, that he created. But you're asking Hashem, Leif Tahor, right now, Birali Elokim, create within me a pure heart. Hashiruach Tahara Tefilach. And then you begin to see changes. A Ruach of Tahara. A Ruach of Tahara. Those who are in the Indian of his brothers, they're in a very, very special club with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A very, very special personal club with Hashem. And you begin to see tefillahs that are answered in ways that you never, ever, ever could have imagined, that you ever saw in your life, that tefillos are being answered. Kach ta'aseh yom-yom. You do this not once, not twice. You keep it up, even though we're going to learn a lot about how to get past the awkwardness and the challenges at the beginning. Yom-yom, day after day. You keep it up. Laila, night. Ad shetaschil lahagish atam ishtana. You begin to feel. There are changes that are taking place. Shata Mishtana. Even physically. You begin to feel Shata Mishtana. Misade. Becoming more refined. More adin. Mizdake. More purified. Mizbatal Hashem. You become a person that you're able to give yourself over to Hashem. It's batla el Hashem. Ad yichancha Hashem. V'tiska gam atla vatla sechayme. To the time, over time, you'll be able to be mevatla lechayme. You'll be able to tell your body what you want. Not that your body should tell and give you instructions, but you give your body instructions. That's the tachlis. But a person is shoylek. A person has control over himself. That you are the one that's in control of your body, not that your body is in control of you. I guess in physical life. Es haguf ha'chayfo malbishes ha'neshama. The guf, the body is only circling. It's only circling. And it's malbishes ha'neshama. It's in clothing the neshama. It's not the neshama. The neshama is in charge. The guf has to take orders from the neshama, not the other way. The guf has to listen to the neshama. You just are not in touch with the neshama. You don't have any connection to your neshama. So since there's no hisgalus of the neshama, that koch of ani, bahu, so you have no strength over your guf, and your guf just tells you what to do. Omar bishes haneshama shechelik lekom yimal. The neshama is chelik lekom yimal man. It's a chelik of Hashem. Hashem nosen lecha Hashem that Hashem gave each and every one of us. Hashem gave each and every one of us neshamish nesata b'tari. Elokai neshamish nesata b'tari. All of us said those words this morning. Elokai neshamish nesata b'tari. And that neshama that Hashem gave each and every one of us is infinitely stronger than the guf. Infinitely stronger than the guf. To be menatzeach the guf. To defeat the guf. That the guf has no say over such a person. It's not that you have to fight and you have to struggle and you have to try to, you know, the Yitzhahara, to overcome the Yitzhahara, to overcome the Yitzhahara. It's Bechlaulah. It's not Nogaya to you. It's not Nogaya to you. This type is not Nogaya to you. The same way that there are certain things that are very clear to each and every one of us, our neshamas, and the Yitzhahara is not Nogaya. Nobody has Yitzhahara on Sunday morning to go to a church. The neshama has to be used. This Indian has been communicated successfully to the guf, Akadekar, that even though thousands of years ago, not even thousands of years, a long time ago, that people had tremendous taiva to go to a Avodah Zarah. We don't have such a thing. So the Chazal, Yashik Nasagdola, but we don't have a problem in there. Things, there are those things, there are things in our lives that we have. You see that there are certain areas of life where the neshama is very clear what the neshama is saying, and the guf has no shaykhs to even make a. The guf has no shaykhs. Nobody here has an Indian that we're going to. You might be hungry in Yom Kippur, no one's going to have a snack in Yom Kippur. You're hungry, but hungry is not. You're not going to have anything to eat. It's Yom Kippur. So how come? How come there the Yetzer Hara is misbalanced? Because there's such a behirus, it's so clear. The voice of the neshama in Yom Kippur is so clear that there's no Indian. It's not shaykh to me to eat. I don't have such an Indian. I'm hungry, but it's not shaykh to eat. The person's completely in control. He's not going to say after Yom Kippur is over and his father asks him, "How do you feel?" Because I have to tell the truth. I ate at 3:30. Which was what? Yeah, I couldn't hold myself back. It's your fault, Ma. You bought my favorite ice cream. So what could I do? I couldn't hold it. It's crazy. It's not an Indian to win over such a time. You're hungry, but the neshama is on Yom Kippur. The neshama is in charge, and therefore it doesn't do anything to you. It has no impact. It doesn't cause you to change anything in your life, to follow anything. The neshama is not shaykh to eat on Yom Kippur. The shaykh is not shaykh. It's not a milchama. It's not shaykh. Oaz kshetizdakech yisached achelik lekasha b'chor yikol b'shoshot. And at that point, the person is able to experience that chelik lekasha, that part of himself, that elokus that's within him, taking over his life, being in charge of his life. That doesn't mean you don't eat and you don't go to work and you don't do regular things, but you're the balabas. There's the Baruch Shem, is the balabas. And there's Batal Hashem. You're the balabas over your life. You're the ones that's in charge. Not that you're schlepped around by the goof. You're schlepped around by Yitzhar. You're schlepped around by Tigers. You're the person that's in charge. The Nisham is in charge, not the goof. Okay, we'll get to work at Paragimel with Hashem next time.